The NBA and NHL regular seasons are nearing their ends, and some coaches will soon be in the unemployment line, or unemployed on golf courses. But in each of the major professional sports, a select few coaches manage to avoid joblessness despite never winning a title. Only a Game's Doug Tribou reports on the increasingly fine line between coaching success and failure.
Success can take many forms. Recently, Charlie Sheen has been summing it up this way.
Winning.
Lauren Mackler has a more nuanced definition. Mackler is a coach and psychotherapist who helps people achieve personal and professional goals and is the author of Soulmate, Master the Art of Aloneness, and Transform Your Life.
Well, it's subjective, right? So it's defined and it's experienced by people in a lot of different ways. You know, some people, success might mean they have a certain amount of money or they have a certain amount of prestige. They might have a large circle of friends, fulfilling personal life, fulfilling career, rewarding career. So it's different for different people.
Sounds reasonable, but sports are not reasonable. And the ultimate definition of success for coaches in major pro sports is predetermined. Championships. Win them, and you'll always have a place in history. Don't, and you'll likely be forgotten, or worse, remembered for failing to win.
I would never hire somebody who's failed twice. I might hire somebody who failed once.
That's ESPN.com columnist Bill Simmons, who was a panelist at the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference in Boston last month.
I don't understand how these guys, like their third, fourth time, why anybody would hire them. Teams are scared a lot of the times, and they're always going to gravitate toward the safest option over taking a chance.
That fear of the unknown has created a job market for coaches that's like a game of musical chairs played inside a revolving door on top of a merry-go-round that rarely lets people on or off. Championships stop the spinning, at least temporarily, but near misses can be even more powerful. Buffalo Bills head coach Marv Levy came up short in four straight Super Bowls in the early 1990s. Bob Matthews is a sports columnist for the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. He says Buffalo fans remained loyal to Levy and have done the same with longtime Sabres coach Lindy Ruff.
There's never been a big public outcry to replace him. It's been sporadic, and that's because the team is never down for long. I think he gets the most out of what he has, and I don't think to this point he's ever had the most.
Ruff took over as Sabres head coach in 1997. The next season, the Sabres went to the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, but haven't been back since. Matthews says 10 winning records in the last 12 seasons and deep roots in Buffalo ensure Ruff's job is safe, but it might be different in a bigger city.
He'd probably be gone by now because the fans do have less patience. Management has less patience, and just easier to get rid of guys in a major market. But here he's part of the community.
Jerry Sloan retired earlier this season after 23 years on the bench for the Utah Jazz. Sloan led the Jazz to consecutive NBA Finals appearances in 1997 and 98. It was as close as Sloan would ever get to a title, but Bill Simmons believes the Jazz were right to stick with him.
I thought Sloan was a great coach. I mean, a lot of this is luck. Phil Jackson got to coach Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, and he's had loaded teams for the last 20 years. I mean, he's a really good coach, but he also coached that Lakers team 2 years after Shaq left that went 42-40. He wasn't that good of a coach that year. So, you know, your talent's going to determine how you do.
There's no question Sloan was a regular season success. He's third on the NBA's all-time wins list. But did he last so long because small market sports spotlights have a lower wattage? Maybe. But Philadelphia Eagles coach Andy Reid is still employed after 12 years on the job without a title. Michael Bradley is an online columnist for Philadelphia Magazine and a contributor to the Sporting News and Athlon Sports. Our conversation began with a simple question. Andy Reid, winner or loser?
He has to be considered a winner. He has his longevity in Philadelphia would demonstrate that. His success to a point, 5 NFC Championship game appearances, 1 Super Bowl appearance, several division titles, a consistent run to the postseason. It may not be the ultimate winner, but he is certainly a winner.
Bradley says there's another measure of success for consistent coaches like Reed and Jeff Fisher, who left the Tennessee Titans after 16-plus seasons and one losing trip to the Super Bowl.
When you fill the seats with a waiting list, when you're getting home playoff games for your owner, when you are helping the team sell merchandise, you get success so that a new stadium is built. All of this jacks up the value of the franchise.
Bradley says more Philly fans are starting to turn against Reed, but change isn't always the answer. In 2006, San Diego had its best regular season ever, made the playoffs, and fired head coach Marty Schottenheimer after the season. The results under his replacement, Norv Turner, have been similar. Lots of regular season wins and playoff disappointments. Lifelong Chargers fan Cameron Slisher says he's seen plenty of losing seasons, so he's grateful for the last several years, but he's in the minority.
Now, I will say for most fans, I would say it's been too long. They forget, and they just want to, you know, gut the team and start over and see what happens from there.
The dividing line between coaching icons and infamous also-rans might be Bobby Cox. Cox spent 29 seasons as a Major League Baseball manager. His second stint with the Braves started in 1990, and when he retired after last season, he was praised as one of baseball's greatest managers. Cox got Atlanta to the World Series 5 times, but won just once in 1995. Atlanta resident and Braves fan Jerry Matheny says it was disappointing to only get one World Series trophy out of the Braves' 14 division crowns under Cox, but he never wanted another manager.
I would stick with Bobby because he's the one that got us to the big games to begin with. If he hadn't been in there finding players and playing the percentages and being a solid decision maker day in and day out for all those years, we wouldn't have been there to begin with.
Since he was glad to see one World Series victory under Cox, was Matheny surprised in 2007 when the New York Yankees let contract negotiations get in the way of re-signing Joe Torre, who led the team to 4 titles?
Well, I don't know. Atlanta said goodbye to Torre.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of it that way. That's right. So we've reached the musical chairs revolving door merry-go-round again. Jerry Matheny's right. The Braves did say goodbye to manager Joe Torre, firing him after the 1984 season. But who did Torre replace? Well, that would be Bobby Cox, who Atlanta fired in 1981. All of these close calls can be tough on loyal fans, but success coach Lauren Mackler says fans who are completely enraged by a coach's failures tend to have their own shortcomings.
And they project a lot of their own stuff, their own failures, their own frustrations about holding themselves back and really going for it in their own lives. And if you can beat up on somebody who's fallen short, you get to feel better about yourself.
In the end, maybe championship-starved coaches should take a cue from Marlon Brando's Terry Molloy, who would have been happy with something they've already gotten, a shot at the title and a little name recognition.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
For Only a Game, I'm Doug Tribune.
Trouble-free tomorrows, may your sorrows all be small. Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers. Bless them all.
What a bunch of losers. You're listening to Only a Game.